More than 2 million couples will get married in the United States this year, and 40% of those marriages will be second marriages for one or both spouses. And often, there are kids involved. This hour, step-parenting. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. All families face challenges, but there are a number of challenges that are particularly difficult for blended families. Cynthia Vasky is a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. I'll talk with her about how she helps families navigate the blending process and some of the problems that step-parents often encounter. I'll also talk with Rachel Scheib, a mom and stepmom from Des Moines, and Tony Arnone, a dad and stepdad from Iowa City. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Life doesn't always go as planned, and more than 50% of marriages end in divorce. But humans are resilient, and most people will move on and find love again. 40% of all marriages in the United States today are second marriages for one or both spouses. And this hour, we're going to talk about step-parenting and blended families. In a few minutes, I'll talk with Rachel Scheib, a mom and stepmom in Des Moines, and Tony Arnone, a dad and stepdad in Iowa City. We also want to hear from you this hour. Are you part of a blended family? Are you a step-parent or a step-child? What are some of the challenges that you have faced? Join us at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Cynthia Vasky is here with me right now. She's a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. Cynthia, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
How often are you working with blended families these days?
Very often. We see a lot of blended families come in and with different issues and different challenges and a lot of good things that happen as well.
Now, I know that blended families are very common. Do a lot of people come to you as they're starting that process of bringing the family together, or do people tend to come to you later on in the process?
Well, it varies. I mean, sometimes we have couples come in when they're dating and they're thinking about putting the families together, which I really prefer, prevention. And then some come somewhere in the middle of the process, or maybe when the children have started meeting that other person. And then, of course, some come later on after it's they're finding that there are some challenges.
Do you have some advice for people who are in that dating process, whether it's it would be their second marriage or whether it would not, whether they're entering into a relationship with somebody who already has kids during that process? You know, I know a lot of people are very nervous about, when do I introduce my new significant other to my children? And this new significant other is also very nervous about that. How do you navigate that?
Well, I think it's really important to make sure that that couple has a very solid, healthy relationship, first and foremost, before taking that step to involve the children. Because think about it. If two people come together and they date for 6 months and then it falls apart, they've already brought the children into the process, it gets very, very mucky. So what we suggest is that make sure that relationship is very, very fundamentally sound. And then you'll kind of have a good concept of when to start introducing the children to the other spouse and kind of start that process. But I really emphasize that it's important that that relationship is very grounded and solid and healthy.
And I'm sure however much custody you have with your children also influences that. I mean, if you're a parent who has your kids every other weekend and one night of the week, it would be easier to put off introducing a new significant other to your children than if you're somebody who has full custody of your kids.
Oh, sure. Because, you know, you as the parent want to spend as much time as possible with that those children, that child or those children. So, you know, time is a commodity as well. So it is kind of a tricky process. And that's why I think it's important that people do seek out some guidance on those issues before they really get into the process.
And do you recommend people, when they're entering into a possibly blended family, do you recommend that they maybe date a little bit longer before they make a decision about marriage than other couples might?
Definitely. That's why I say, you know, in my field, we have a saying that within 6 months, the true colors come out. So, you know, give it six to 9 to 12 months, you know, that a year would be ideal. Just to make sure that, you know, you're on the same page, your values are the same, your goals are the same. Check out parenting styles, you know, because parental styles change and are different. Make sure that you have all of those things kind of organized and that you agree and that it's a good fit before you, you know, start that process of introducing the children.
All right. And we will talk more about advice that you have for people who are entering into these relationships or how to navigate these relationships once you've already entered into them. As the hour goes on, I want to bring Rachel Scheib into the conversation. She is a mom and stepmom in Des Moines. Hello, Rachel.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here today. And introduce us a little bit to your family and the the blend that you and your husband have created.
Sure. My husband and I married in December of 2012. We've been married for 2.5 years. And when I met him, he has 3 daughters. They were ages 4, 6, and 8 when I met him. And, you know, it was a little scary. I think I was 27, single, and living a completely different lifestyle, but knew that someday I wanted to have lots of kids, and I've always loved kids. You know, when he told me, you know, I have 3 kids, does that scare you? Does that end things? And I said, no, that's just a game changer. I'm going to have to do a lot of research and make sure that I'm the right fit for you. So, you know, I read a lot of books and did a lot of research on my own to decide if I was going to be mature enough to handle being a stepmom if I chose to marry this man.
So. Were you already dating when you found out that he had kids?
No, actually. We met through a mutual friend, and we just decided we liked each other. And from there, he said, I just have to tell you, I have 3 kids. Does that scare you? And, you know, it really didn't scare me. It just, like I said, it just kind of changed things in my mind a little bit. So, no, we met, and he mentioned that he had kids right away, so I knew that going into it.
And you also have a child together, right?
Yes, we just had a baby boy just about a year ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Terrific. So after you thought, okay, I'm interested in this man, I love kids, I want to pursue this relationship. Mm-hmm. How did that process go of meeting the kids? How did you guys handle that?
We honestly probably didn't handle it the best way. I met them pretty much within the same week that I met him. But at the time, Tim and I didn't know we were going to be dating. We just knew we kind of liked each other. So I met them as a friend, and I actually met their mother at the same time I met them. So it was kind of a weird way of meeting them. But everyone got along just fine. And like I said, I kind of went into it just, I'm your dad's friend, and he had lots of friends, so it was no big deal. Not girlfriends, but friends.
Right.
So that's kind of how I went into it. And then as I realized that I was falling for him and that we, you know, this might actually turn into a relationship, that's when I started reading books and learning how to create a healthy relationship with the girls. And not make it feel forced.
Right. And as the person who is entering into this relationship who didn't have kids, I mean, a lot of us, when we become parents, when our children are babies and you learn parenting as the child grows, you were kind of thrust into parenting with kids who were much older. Did you have a hard time deciding who you were going to be in their life?
I did, but at the time I worked part-time at a daycare, so I was around kids a lot, and so I just kind of related to them right away, and I have 3 sisters and no brothers, so I really did feel right at home with all 3 of them, and it felt pretty easy to find stuff to talk about, and I just really, they were just great kids. And I mean, if they were different kids and they were, you know, had discipline problems, I might have been a little more fearful, but they were just, I really do commend my husband and his ex-wife for the way that the kids are. They are very respectful kids and smart and athletic and just something that I wanted to be a part of.
What is the custody arrangement between your husband and his ex-wife?
His ex-wife has them most of the time. We have them every other weekend and every Tuesday night currently. And then, you know, we'll help out with practices and take them here and there and stop by every once in a while. And it's a pretty open, accepting way of doing things. So
with that little amount of time with the kids on a regular basis, has that created challenges for you?
It does. You know, when we go a week without seeing them, it is hard to, you know, that first 5 to 10 minutes is always kind of awkward, but, you know, we slip right back into the same relationship, and we try to talk to him and like I said, try to see him not just during those times, but we see him on our off weekends too at their soccer games and softball tournaments and gymnastics stuff. So they are really involved with sports and all kinds of stuff. So we try to make ourselves present at all of those things as well.
Now, of course, for you, your relationship with your husband is the most important part of your marriage, but also you need to have a working relationship with his ex-wife. How did you approach that relationship?
Well, I just knew that I don't like confrontation, I don't like problems, and I don't like conflict, and I know that she's the same way. And so I just went into it as an adult and tried to put myself in her shoes through everything. With how I treat the girls, am I stepping on her toes if I do this? If I ask to take them here, am I stepping on her toes? And I really did try to take her stance on things to make her feel more comfortable with me. I mean, we friended each other on Facebook. She invited me to birthday parties and got to know me. And I wanted her to feel comfortable with me prior to Tim and I ever getting engaged or married, because I didn't want her to worry about who Tim was marrying and how I was treating her kids.
And is there a blended family on that side as well?
Yes, she is remarried, and her husband also has a daughter. So the girls have a stepsister on their mom's side too.
Wow, so lots and lots of complications. It sounds like you guys have approached it in a really healthy way. And we're going to talk more about how you've navigated this. Cynthia, you'll give us more advice for the hour. We're going to bring a stepdad and dad into the conversation here in just a moment. We also want to hear from you. I know a lot of people are part of blended families, whether you're a stepmom or stepdad or a stepchild. Let us know what your experiences have been. You can join the conversation. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me this hour, Cynthia Vasky, a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. Rachel Scheib is also here. She is a mom and stepmom in Des Moines. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be joined by Tony Arnone. He is a dad and stepdad in Iowa City. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about step-parenting and blended families. With me, Cynthia Vasky is a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. Rachel Scheib is here. She's a mom and stepmom in Des Moines. And now joining the conversation, Tony Arnone is here. He is a dad and stepdad in Iowa City. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Charity. Nice to see you.
Welcome back to the show. And introduce us a little bit to your family. You have a very complicated blended family. You also have a three-year-old in your lap, which I should mention because we may hear from him a little bit.
He might say hi. But right. Yeah, he was the result of this whole interaction with my current wife now. Yes. I met my wife, Rachel, when our sons were best buddies in preschool when they were about 3 or 4 years old. And so we had maybe an advantage in that sense of our kids, our boys bringing us together. We had some play dates and one thing led to another and we became inseparable. And my wife also has a daughter who's now just about 13 in seventh grade, and our boys continue to be best buddies. They're both finishing fifth grade today, or fourth grade, excuse me, about to be fifth graders. And then we had about 3 years ago our son Rocco, who is now sitting on my lap.
All right. So that's a complicated family arrangement.
Is.
And how does custody work out in your families? Because obviously both of your son and your first son and then Rachel's kids, they have other families too.
Right. Rachel and her ex-husband share their two kids pretty much 50-50. And my situation is that my ex-wife is in New York City a lot of the time. So I have my son probably 2/3 to 3/4 of the time. So the first thing I do when I wake up every morning is try to remember how many kids we have at that given day, because it fluctuates. It can be anywhere from 1 to 4.
Wow. What does your calendar look like?
I don't even look at it if I can avoid it.
And was it important that all of your kids and stepkids, everybody go to the same elementary school?
I think that was just a nice result of everything. I don't know if it was critical, but I think we were very happy with that. And as you know, our boys were not in the same class down the street, but they're in the same school. And I think it was good for them to have a little bit of independence in their classroom. But they love biking to school together and being at the same school. So it's worked out.
And for anybody who is a fan of the TV show Phineas and Ferb, you guys
yes.
kind of have the Phineas and Ferb setup where you have stepbrothers who are the same age and then an older sister.
Yes, it's perfect. And they happen to love that show.
Well, how could they not?
I know.
How could they not? So as you were navigating blending the family, bringing the families together, your boys knew each other well. How did you deal with introducing the older daughter to you and making this whole thing work?
Well, actually, the older daughter knew the boys. I mean, all three of them went to the same preschool, Brooklyn Woods. And so the three of them actually were best buddies already. I mean, the boys probably a little bit closer, but the three of them really until this year were sort of like three peas in a pod. And now Lizzie's gotten into seventh grade. She's you know, discovered other joys other than Legos, I think. So, but they're still, they all three get along well, but I would say now it's more the boys playing together nonstop and Lizzie doing her own thing a little more.
It sounds like things kind of came together really naturally in your case, which I know is not always the case for blended families. When you guys started talking about marriage, how did you bring that up with the kids?
I don't remember exactly how, but they seemed to be very happy when this all came about. And just one thing, I was thinking about the show earlier, and one thing that stuck in my head from early on is that my wife said from a very early point, feel free to parent my kids as you parent your own kid. And I think that was a really important statement that I just remember that. And we do parent so much alike that I think that's been one of the keys for our success.
Well, and Cynthia, that must be a real challenge for a lot of parents as families are coming together, is dealing not just with the good stuff and getting to know kids and having fun with kids, but also dealing with discipline issues and things like that. Is that a hiccup for a lot of people?
Oh, definitely. Because there are so many different parenting styles with couples, and then right down to the disciplinary action is very, very different for some people. So it's a matter of really communicating about what those expectations are, who's doing the disciplinary action. In Tony's case, that was great that she said, let's do it the same. Let's, you know, you have the same power I have. And really wanting the parents to be on the same team and do things very consistently. And consistency is another issue that's very important in blended families.
So obviously, I mean, you have to co-parent with your former spouse as well as with your present spouse. Is that something you recommend trying to have a large family meeting about, saying, you know, we do timeouts and they're for this long, or, you know, trying to be on the same page with discipline?
Oh, ideally, that would be perfect if that were to happen.
Right. The world is not perfect. I understand that.
If you have the capability to do that, that's ideal, because then they're getting the same consistent message at both houses. And that would be ideal. Many times that doesn't happen.
Right.
So.
Well, I know. I mean, I'm in a first marriage and I know my children know how to work the system already.
Oh,
they know
yes.
when to ask dad for something, when to ask mom for something, and that. So kids can really work this system.
They sure can. They can.
Rachel, in your situation where you don't have the kids for a lot of the time, the older kids, has discipline been an issue in your family?
It really hasn't in our house. Tim and I, we were brought up similarly and have the same parenting style. And it, like Tony said, I kind of discipline them like I would discipline my own child too, which is, you know, I would never scream at them or anything like that. But I mean, you know, as far as having responsibilities around the house and those kind of things, I treat them the same way I would if I had my own daughter. So we really haven't had issues. When they come to our house, they kind of know what to expect as well. They expect, you know, they're expected to put the dishes in the dishwasher. They're expected to make their beds. They're expected to put their laundry away. And that never changes. And, you know, we're not sure quite what they're doing at their mom's, but they know that at least at our house, this is what is expected and it will never change.
We're talking about blended families and step-parenting today. With me, Rachel Scheib, a mom and stepmom in Des Moines, Tony Arnone, a dad and stepdad in Iowa City, and also Cynthia Vasky, a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. We'd love to hear from you as well with your experiences, your concerns as a step-parent or a step-child. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Mark is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, my question is kind of related to the marriage side of things. I'm actually in a relationship right now with a gal, previously married four times. Very good reasons for these divorces. She's a wonderful gal, very kind, giving, generous. She actually has an adopted granddaughter, and we've been together I'm also divorced just about 2 years. I have two boys, 14 and 19. This granddaughter she's adopted is only four. We've been together, like I say, not quite a year. She's kind of starting to talk about marriage right now. My question is, kind of what is the experience of your guests with long-term relationships without remarrying?
Well, Cynthia, I'll let you take that. What do you think?
Well, there are many, many situations where there are blended families and they have not actually married, you know, for whatever reason, whatever the divorce agreement was or insurance policies out there or various many different reasons. And those relationships can be successful as well. It just depends on who's pushing to get married and who's not, and, you know, coming to an agreement with that. Sometimes it's less messy if you just agree to live as a married couple and a blended family, and it works. So I don't think there's any hard and fast rule on that. It just depends on the individuals and what their expectations are.
And really, I mean, a long-term relationship where you're living together, it would follow some of the same guidelines that you were talking about as far as blending families, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
Mark, does that help you out a little bit?
Yeah, it does. I just, again, it's kind of just, we've just started approaching this conversation. And so I was just kind of curious as to just a little bit of feedback, I guess, as far as what's your guest experiences have been. So I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we've talked a lot about families that have younger kids coming together. In your experience, Cynthia, do things get more complicated as the kids get older?
Yes, they do. There's just no getting around that. Teenagers are challenged with their own life issues, as we all know, and middle school is very challenging. So then you throw this stranger in the house into the mix, and they're supposed to get to know this person and like the person and follow their rules, and things in the house have changed, and you have to give up a bedroom or move in with a sibling. Yeah, it changes everything. And I think the older the children are, the more challenges you do have.
Well, we have a comment from an email from someone who wishes to remain anonymous, but they say, I'm engaged to a man who has a teenage son. The boy's mother absolutely refuses to cooperate in any way with us. She tells her son how much she hates me and has made it difficult
for my boyfriend to see his son. Because of this, I'm afraid to attend any school or social activities that will bring the three of them together. That sounds like an incredibly difficult situation. She's seeking advice, and obviously you don't know the details of their situation, but where do you even start with something like that?
Well, I think as the third party that she is, I think it's really important to kind of step back and see what kind of a relationship her boyfriend or fiance has with his son. I think to start there, to make sure that that relationship is good and positive and solid, is very crucial to this three-way, you know, relationship working. It is very difficult when there's an interfering ex and they refuse to cooperate. And the rumors and the things that they tell the teenager are just really complicating that whole relationship. It's very sad that that happens. But I would start with making sure that the father-son relationship is strong and then kind of taking baby steps to meet that teenager. With given the information with the ex interfering, you know, that teenager may refuse to have anything to do with that person. And maybe her boyfriend, fiance will just have to spend some time with the teenager, you know, alone initially, again, to create that bond. And he can talk about, you know, this possibility of blending this family and this new person in his life and talk about what he loves about her and try to, you know, approach it from that direction rather than just throwing them together.
Well, Rachel, I know that the girls in your husband's life were quite young when you guys got together. You've actually said that if they were teenagers, you might not have pursued this relationship, right?
Right. I did a lot of research, like I said, once I realized that, okay, I like this guy a lot and I could see us getting married. And I was just interested to see, and I read something where if the husband has a daughter who's 12 or older, and it's a second marriage situation, the divorce rate is in the 80s or 90s. It was something really high like that. And so it made me
scary. Yes.
It was just a scary. Yeah. It was a very scary statistic. And I was lucky that I met them when they were 4, 6, and 8, and they were very welcoming and very kind to me. And it does make me wonder if, you know, McKenna, the oldest daughter, is 12 now and she still treats me great, and we haven't hit that teenager age yet, but it makes me wonder if I would have met her at that age, how it would have made things a little more difficult. So I think there is some truth to, there's a lot of truth to what Cynthia was saying with teenagers.
This is an email that makes me think of something that you said, Rachel. This is another anonymous email, but I'm around 6 months into my relationship around 6 months into our relationship, I was introduced to my partner's son as a friend. He really likes me and we have a lot of fun together. Around 3 months later, we told him I was a girlfriend. Now I'm not so cool anymore. Mm-hmm. What can we do? Rachel, when you went from being the friend to being the girlfriend, did that change your relationship with the girls at all?
It didn't. And that's another thing that I read in the book, was to go from a friend to a teacher role. So rather than just going to a girlfriend role, treat the girls like I was their teacher, and then move from that to an aunt role. And then from there, just let them kind of pick how fast they want the relationship to move forward. And I never wanted to push them into liking me or, you know, forcing them to get along with me. I just wanted to, do it in a healthy way. So that's how I did. I came in as a friend, and then I kind of treated them as a teacher would, and then moved on to the aunt role. And then after that, I felt like I'd gotten to a point where I can, you know, talk to them like I do now and tell them that I love them and, you know, not take their mother's place, but have a motherly mothering role, I guess, is what I would say.
It sounds like there's as much advice out there for step-parents as there is for parents. I know the parenting section of the bookstore is big. Cynthia, how do you approach that with couples who come to you and say, well, it was fine when we were saying we were friends. Now the kids are really nervous.
Well, I think, again, the communication is key. And it's just, you know, talking with those kids and explaining, you know, what that union's going to look like, how things are going to pretty much stay the same. You know, we've just added in a few more people in our house. It'll be fun. And you know, really focus on the positives. And it's really, I think children get scared at any age of how it's going to impact their life. And so I think the more that you can communicate about what that household's going to look like, that reduces their fears and anxiety and puts them at ease, and then they're more open to fun and new activities.
Well, and we'll talk more about this after a break, but stepmoms have a bad reputation when it comes to children's literature, children's movies. Is there a fear factor there just because of how stepmothers are portrayed in the media?
There could be. I mean, it's all over the media, and it's not. It's the wicked stepmom, you know? So that can, you know, for different children, it can produce some anxiety, like, oh no, what's this person going to be like? I think children are probably a little anxious to join a blended family under the best of circumstances because it's change. And we as humans resist change, whatever age we are. So, you know, I think trying to minimize those fears is very important.
All right, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about blended families and step-parenting today. Cynthia Vasky is a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. Also with us, Rachel Scheib, a mom and stepmom in Des Moines, and Tony Arnone, a dad and stepdad in Iowa City. We also want to hear from you. Share your experiences. Ask your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about blended families and step-parenting. This is something a lot of people have experience with and a lot of angst about. If you have questions or concerns or experiences you'd like to share, give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me this hour, Cynthia Vasky, a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids, Rachel Scheib, a mom and stepmom in Des Moines, and Tony Arnone, dad and stepdad in Iowa City. And I want to get to the phone right away. Melissa is on the line in Ames. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
And you're calling from the perspective of a stepchild. Tell me what your experience was.
Well, my parents divorced when I was really young, about 2. My father remarried when I was about 3.5. And my mother was never very nice in how she described my stepmother to me. There was a lot of negative talk, negative interaction between me and my mom regarding my stepmother. So I always felt kind of guilty in feeling anything positive towards my stepmom. And now I'm 41, and my stepmom and I are very close. She's played a really big mother role in my life, and we're pretty much best friends. And now that I'm an adult, I actually resent my mom for making me feel that way and standing in the way of my stepmother and I being able to foster a healthy relationship. So I guess, you know, precautionary to the moms, you know, you can end up having children who resent you for not allowing that relationship to be happy and healthy.
Oh, that's a very interesting point, Melissa. Thank you so much. And Cynthia, I think I heard a show about divorce the other day on another program, and they were talking about how it's never okay for parents to badmouth the other parent, although I'm sure that's something that happens a lot. It sounds like that can be a source of an incredible amount of stress for kids.
Oh, it can, and it puts the kids in the middle. In fact, that's why the that mandatory attendance when you become divorced about kids in the middle, that's exactly what that's about, exactly what Melissa has, you know, experienced. It's like, be adults, you know, take care of your own issues. You may be angry, but deal with it. And, you know, put the children first and foremost in your life, and realize that it's difficult for them as well. First of all, divorce is difficult, and then trying to, you know, have a blended family on top of that, that's another transition. So I think the adults just need to really, you know, concentrate on the what's in the best interest of the children. But that's exactly why that program came about, is because this does happen. The reality is it does happen. There are bitter ex-wives and husbands.
Now, as a single parent, I can imagine that, you know, for a lot of single parents, it can be very isolating. And if you're with your child most of the time, if they're the person you're with the most, it would be hard not to share your feelings with them. Is it important to find another confidant, a neutral party to say those things to so you don't say them to your kid?
Absolutely. And, you know, in the best scenario, sometimes you'll slip. But that needs to be few and far between. You know, you really need to hold yourself accountable for your feelings and continue to be the parent that you would like to be for your child, and certainly not try to sway them or convince them that this other person is an evil person. Like you stated, there's enough of that going on, you know, in the media with the Disney movies and so forth. We just don't need to add to that.
Right. Well, and I want to return to that. Rachel, when you were becoming a stepmom, was that any kind of a fear for you, this whole idea of the wicked stepmother?
Yes, it was a huge fear of mine. And I just wanted the girls to know that I'm not wicked. I am kind of nice, and I have your best interests at heart, and it was really hard for me to get past the term stepmom. I almost didn't even want to be called that. I don't know what I wanted to be called, but not stepmom, because it just had such a negative connotation to it.
Right. Well, how did your friends respond? I mean, when you tell people you're getting married, usually it's, oh, congratulations. When you told people you were getting married and you were going to become a stepmother, did people respond differently?
Yeah, I mean, some of my friends were a little hesitant and just wanted to make sure that I knew what I was getting myself into, and I appreciate that, their honesty. And that was definitely a common reaction, was, oh, that's great, you know. And it wasn't as excited as you would expect someone to be when you told them, you know, you're getting married. But I think it's just, there's just a misconception with it too, and people think different things when you say you're getting married to someone who has kids, and they just assume different things. And it's hard to explain it to someone who's never been in that situation. And so that's just kind of what I tell myself. If I get that kind of slack, I just say they don't understand, and that's, you know, that's no problem.
Right. So. Well, and Tony, there are some stereotypes about stepdads too. And clearly you're in a unique situation. You have the majority custody of your older son. And of course, Rocco is in your lap right now. You're very clearly a hands-on dad. But were there any stereotypes that made you a little nervous entering into that relationship?
Truthfully, I never thought about it until just now.
Right.
No, it's been very, very easy. I think our advantage was the kids were just so young, and already a group of three.
Right.
Just made that very easy. And as the oldest daughter grows up, I mean, I really work to keep a good, close relationship with especially her as she goes through, you know, enters the teenage years. And we had a heart-to-heart the other day, and I told her, I said, you know, I love you a lot. I'm not trying to replace your dad, but you know, this is how I feel about you, and I'm looking out for you, and something to that effect. So I thought that was a nice thing to remind her of.
Yeah, and how about co-parenting with the other parents in your kids' lives? How have you navigated that on both sides?
Yeah, it's been tricky, but nothing really too horrible. I mean, I think my wife and I are both lucky that we are on pretty amicable terms with our ex-spouses. And you know, there are certain things that we wish, oh, I wish they would maybe do this differently. But that's, you come to terms with that and just know that that's out of your hands. And it's been nothing really that has upset us to the point of feeling like we just have to do something about this. There have been smaller things. So I think if you can keep that perspective, it makes it easier.
Right. Well, and Cynthia, speaking of stereotypes about stepdads or biological fathers who don't have custody, I mean, there is this term, we talked about the wicked stepmother, there's the term Disneyland dad, which gets thrown around as well. This is, you know, the dad that only sees their kids a couple of weekends out of the month, and then because they want to have a fond place in their kid's heart, will take them on a fabulous vacation every year, you know, and they want to be the fun parent because they don't necessarily have the day-to-day responsibilities. First of all, is it any easier for stepdads or dads to navigate this territory than moms?
Oh, I don't think it's necessarily any easier. No. In fact, it may be more difficult, depending on, you know, the number of children and what the circumstances are. But I think dads do try to make it fun in that short period of time. I think they're focused on, oh, I only get to see that child or those children such a short period of time. I better do, you know, the most fun thing ever. And it's fun for the kids, but it's not really reality. I think the kids adjust better if they just do their normal routine that they've always done and just live their lives pretty simply and consistently. I think that's more valuable to the children than, you know, for the dad to be Disney dad.
Right. We have an email speaking from the perspective of the ex-wife whose former husband remarried. For the first several years of my ex's second marriage, the relationship with my ex and his new, much younger wife was quite hostile, which I realize was not at all good for the children. It would have helped matters significantly if the stepmom had respected my role as my children's mother. I felt like she was trying to replace me by taking on responsibilities that I considered to be mine, not hers. For example, she took the liberty of taking my daughter shopping for her first prom dress. My ex-husband did nothing to discourage his new wife's behavior. I wish to emphasize how important it is for the biological parents to be able to communicate with each other and respect each other's roles and responsibilities in the care of their children. The step-parents sometimes need to take a step back and show respect for the other parent's role and be patient for their turn. I think she summed that up very well. Cynthia, do you have anything to add to that?
Oh, I totally agree. It's all about expectations and the two parents still co-parenting, even though they may not be together. And that was his responsibility to say, you know, her mother would like to take her to get her first prom dress. You know, that's our expectation. And chances are maybe the other person would back down then and there wouldn't be those hurt feelings. And I mean, there's certain moments in time that you want to be special for your children, and to take that away is sad. So I think it comes back again to the communication.
Well, and Rachel, I know that's something that you have thought quite a lot about, right?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I like I said, I tried to put myself in his ex-wife's shoes a lot, trying to make sure that I wasn't doing those things, because I've heard stories and I didn't want to be that person. I did want to let her be the mom, and she is their mom. And I, you know, I have friends that ask, you know, does it upset you that they don't call you mom? And absolutely not, because I'm not their mom. I'd prefer to be Rachel. And it's weird how people on the outside just assume that stepmoms want to be the mom and want to take that place, because not all of us do. So
we have another email. This is from somebody who experienced divorce in her family later than we've been talking about. My parents divorced when I was in my early 20s. I've come to understand that there was this idea that it was better for them to stay together until the kids were out of high school. It's been really hard to come to terms with everything about my adult life being different. For example, my parents won't sit together at my wedding. They won't hold a grandchild and smile at each other. I wish that if they were unhappy, they would have split up sooner. Does your guest have any comment on the idea of staying together until the kids go to college? Cynthia, I know this is a slightly different topic, but as people navigate, I mean, obviously they're thinking about their kids, and sometimes putting the kids first doesn't necessarily put the kids first. What is your response to that?
Well, I've had a soapbox about this issue for a very long time. And, you know, the bottom line is the kids know. The kids feel it. They feel the tension. They feel the disruption in their family. I mean, when two parents are, you know, not getting along, the tension is so high that the children feel it, bottom line. So it's not a secret. I don't know what the concept of let's stay together until they turn 18 and one day and then we'll split. I just have never been able to understand the rationalization behind that. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, really. And more than likely, I think in 9 out of 10 cases, it would be better to have made that split much earlier.
Well, Tony, I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, I've lived sort of both ends of that, because my parents divorced right when I was 18 and I was the younger of two. And I can, just from my perspective, I think our kids seeing a really happy home, which I feel like we have, and a lot of love and affection, that's much better than just preserving the first marriage, which I think both my wife and I had thoughts of that when we were married to our – in our first marriage. And I just think that what the kids are growing up with now is 100% better than what would have happened if we hadn't have gone through the divorce.
And here's another question. Do men or women avoid marriages with singles who have children to avoid possible tensions with their former spouses? I guess it's probably not possible to answer that question. But again, is that an issue that you've seen people coping with, Cynthia?
Well, we have. You would not believe the power and control that some exes have over their ex. You know, when it comes to children and visitation, and I see a lot of parents come in and they're scared to do this, or this because they fear what the retaliation of the ex would be. So there is a lot of power and control that comes into those relationships.
Let's go to the phones. Roger's on the line in West Des Moines. Hi, Roger.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
We blended our family about 28 years ago, and at the time we each had three kids, four of whom were in high school, one in college, and one in fifth grade. And I think our families knew one another. We actually didn't really know one another before we met when the kids were older. And my job had given me a transfer 500 miles away from my kids, and previous to that I had full custody. And so they decided to stay back so they could continue in high school at their same high school. But then I met my new wife and so on, and we thought everything was really good between all of the kids. And we probably proceeded too quickly. When you've been talking today about, you know, 9 months or a year or even more, I would second that and third that. We probably, once we started dating, was about April, end of March, 1st of April, and we were married at the end of December. And we five of our six kids stood up for our wedding. However, we realized, you know, probably a few years into the marriage that it would have been better for our relationship had we had a longer courtship. And I would encourage that if people are considering blending families.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story, Roger. And, you know, Cynthia, it's interesting now that we've moved into talking about older kids, as parents get remarried, even when their kids are out of the house, out of college, that can bring up a lot of really intense emotional issues for the adult kids who are getting involved in a blended family. I mean, even though they won't ever live under the same roof, that can be a real challenge as well.
Well, as the guest stated, well, first of all, they have to deal with the emotional impact. And it's like, what was that that we lived? You know, was that a facade all these years? And why did you do that to us? You know, we knew that you didn't get along. You know, you went your separate ways, whatever the case may be. So why didn't you be real and, you know, proceed how you need it to. Then it's that awkward, you know, we have to go. It really has an impact on those adult children because they have to go to certain people's houses at certain times. And, you know, instead of one Christmas at home with their children, now they have to go to two other houses, you know, the mom and the dad. And I mean, it's very disruptive for the older children to try to make that work as well.
And
it does impact their life.
They have step siblings that are also in their 20s or even 30s.
Exactly. And so those relationships to have to navigate. So right. It does. There's just an impact at any age, really.
Well, we are out of time. I think we could talk about this for at least another hour. But Cynthia, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Cynthia Vasquez is a family counselor at Unity Point Health in Cedar Rapids. Rachel Scheib, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Rachel Scheib is a mother and a stepmother in Des Moines. And Tony Arnone, thank you so much for being here.
Our pleasure.
And Rocco, thank you for being here.
Say hi.
No, he's still playing with Mr. Potato Head. He's been so good. Tony Arnone is a dad and a stepdad in Iowa City. Talk of Iowa is produced by Lindsay Moon, Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.